Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by the Chemo Girls, or as it were today, the Chemo Girl, Sharon. I'm alone and doing an interview that I've really been seeking out and looking forward to. The topic for today is on caregiving. And what we have for you today is a gentleman whose wife has been through cancer twice. And so I think this will be fantastic information for friends and families of our newbies to hear how the family has survived the whole ordeal. Mr. Bruce Countryman is 43 years old and is married to his college sweetheart, Ellen Countryman. Together, they have three children. Bruce's family resides in the upstate of North Carolina, just beautiful country up there. Bruce is originally a dairy farmer's son from the Midwest. He has a degree in theology with disciplines in church music. He is currently a sales rep for a national equipment company, rental company, serving the construction industry. Thank you, Mr. Bruce. We're so delighted to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, and as we've discussed this issue together already, I really love your story. I can't wait for our listeners to hear more about it. This has been, you know, we talk a lot about how the diagnosis changes the diagnosee, but it sounds to me like your story comes full circle as well, and that's very interesting to me. So what I hoped is that you would take a moment and, you know, we typically ask people to tell us their cancer story. And that's what I want you to do, because I do believe that as a caregiver, you have a cancer story of your own, because this has affected you profoundly.
Sure.
So can you tell me kind of the logistics of how all of this went down for your family?
Sure. It's been about 2 years now. Well, really a year and a half. Ellen was, she has a little bit of a family history with breast cancer, and she went for a routine mammogram, which led to a, we think you need, there's something there, we need to have an MRI done,
right?
Which led to a biopsy, and then that day that, you know, you just, you don't forget the day. You forget everything around the day, but you don't forget the moment when, you know, the doctor tells you, hey, you've got a serious cancer problem, and we're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And so for me as a caregiver, the first thing that I could say that I really struggled with was the fact that I was numb for about 3 weeks. In your youth, you get married and nobody really prepares you for, you know, they kind of tell you about, hey, you need to get this kind of a job, and eventually you're going to want this size house, and if you're smart, you'll get this kind of vehicle. But nobody stops and says, oh, and by the way, someday down the road in about 20 years into your marriage, a bomb's going to get dropped on you because of the word cancer.
Right.
And so I was very familiar with, you know, the fight to cure cancer. My mom worked for the American Cancer Society some years ago. I've been a big supporter of the American Cancer Society walks that they do locally where I live. And so it was very important to me, because I could see friends that had gone through this, and then there's that one fatal day where, you know, the news comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellen's breast cancer, that fortunately they did catch it early. Looking back, once we got through the worst, it seemed like, of what we had to go through, we kind of sat back and said, well, you know what? That wasn't too bad. We've heard so much worse stories, and we could have gone through a lot worse things, because of the fact that she was able to have early detection, that, you know, within a few weeks of finding out what it was, they went ahead and planned a full hysterectomy because her cancer is estrogen-based.
Right.
And then 3 weeks later, they did a full double mastectomy and then began the process of reconstruction surgeries. And so that kind of went through, you know, there's a span of a lot of downtime for her to recover. And of course, multiple surgeries like that, it was pretty traumatic on her body. She had had thyroid cancer about 5 years ago, which is not uncommon for women.
Right.
Very treatable, and they removed her thyroid gland. So now here's this poor lady who's no longer has a thyroid gland to produce the right hormones. She no longer has estrogen to function, you know, and not to mention the fact that her body is going to change drastically because we have to get rid of something that's going to kill her if she doesn't.
Right.
And so that kind of took us through about the middle of last summer, and then there's been multiple reconstruction surgeries because plastic surgeons are amazing at what they do, but when they have to remove a breast and have to take out so much tissue, it's not as simple, here's a prosthetic replacement and you're going to be okay. It's, you know, and for women, I totally get it. The cancer is not as hard about dealing with the chemo or the sickness or the pain and the struggle. 50% of it is really, okay, how do I look?
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that to be a major issue. So as far as kind of the timeline, that's where we're at right now. And she still may have, I know we probably have at least one more reconstruction surgery, or as we like to call it, maybe a front-end alignment. Because things just aren't, you know, just it's her body's still trying to adapt to something that's not, you know, it wasn't designed to do.
Right.
And but I mean, she looks great. She's doing, you know, she is cancer-free.
And she feels well?
I'm very grateful for that. And she's doing well.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful to hear, and it really is a process. You know, reconstruction in and of itself is a doozy. It can be. And
right.
So, yeah, I'm glad to hear she's on the heels of that. So how did you become aware of resources that were helpful to you as a caregiver? Because I know we have resources for the patient, and very frequently we just don't think about the needs of the family surrounding the patient.
Right. Well, there really are a number of resources, and we didn't actually use all of them, but certainly the most helpful one as far as a caregiver was concerned was me being able to sit in with a lady, and her title was the Breast Health Navigator.
Right.
This was through the Pearly Harris Cancer Center, through Bon Secours St. Francis Health System. And she was tremendous because I walked into the room with my wife to have a discussion with this lady to make sure that we covered all of our bases. What else do we need to do? But what was really great about the meeting was not only did she pay attention to my wife, she at one point in the meeting finally stopped and said, "All right, now Bruce, I need to have a conversation with you. First of all, how are you doing?" And there was a number of questions there, but there was a very comforting thing that she said to me in that meeting. That at that point, I knew we were going to be okay. She said, "Look, this is early detection. Everything's lined up. All the surgeries are scheduled. This is what's going to happen." And she said, "What you have to understand is that this is a process,
mm-hmm.
and that with a process, at some point, you can kind of say, okay, it's behind us now."
Right.
And we went to a, just as a side note, and that was very comforting, but just as a side note, we went to a meeting through our plastic surgeon that they do for breast cancer survivors. And Ellen was talking with one of her friends who was about, I don't know, 3 months ahead of her in her process. But she had to have chemo, and there she was, the next day she was going back to see her oncologist. And you know, she said she was fearful,
right.
And she was expressing to Ellen, you know, "I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know where I'm, you know, when am I going to finally be able to say I'm doing okay?" And Ellen reminded her, she said, you know, "From the moment you found out you had cancer, every single day that you make it beyond that is a gift.
It is.
And you're a survivor. So don't fret about, you know, am I a survivor or not? If you're still living and breathing, still contemplating what's next, you really, truly are a survivor at that point. And
that's great wisdom.
So that was, for us, that was the Breast Health Navigator was extremely helpful. And the American Cancer Society was very helpful with supplies for me to pick up for my wife and assist her with those things that she needed, you know, in that situation. Also, we do have some family here. That was incredibly helpful to us to have my wife's parents nearby and was able to assist, so I didn't miss a whole lot of time from work.
Mm-hmm.
And was able to, you know, able to keep ourselves and the kids functioning pretty much as normal,
right,
as normal could be. But it was a challenging time for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I've said often, it's one thing to be the patient. I truly believe for me, I can see where it could be even more challenging to be the person looking on, because as a patient, you can't escape this. You have no choice but to accept it. And it's you. You're not having to watch this happen to someone you care about. I believe it would be harder for me if it had been my husband that I, you know, it's not that it would have been harder for me to take care of him. I would have relished that. It would have been harder to not be able to fix this for him, because I know that's kind of a male thing, but that's been embedded in me as well. I would want to fix things. And so can you tell me, how did cancer change your perspective on what's really important in life?
Well, immediately the perspective is difficult to find. The first couple weeks, like I said, it was numb.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part about it, Sharon, is at the beginning you have more questions than answers.
Oh yeah.
And it's a terrible thing, and I'm especially bad at this, of making assumptions. And my problem was that I couldn't have a negative effect on my wife with my fear and assumptions of what ifs,
mm-hmm,
because she was having enough of them on her own.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, somebody needed to change pretty quickly in that situation. And fortunately, I had a pastor friend who kind of helped me step back and get a kind of a big picture of this thing. And he basically said, I'm going to share something with you. And he said, it's going to be very important that you really hold on to this. He said, you have to go with what you know to be true. You have to go with what you know to be true. And the reason is you can assume yourself into a complete tizzy and not be able to function.
Right.
And that's kind of where he found me was I was just kind of lost out there. I didn't know what all I needed to be doing. But once I kind of backed up and said, okay, I know this, and I know this, and I know these things, okay, we can move forward without the assumptions. Because if I go with what I know to be true, then I'm not being driven by the fear. But and that was very, very difficult for me, and I still didn't get to resolution of that till the end of this last spring, because when, you know, just like you were saying, you want to care for a spouse, it would be harder for you because you want to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't fix this.
Right.
And when my wife would get emotional and say, you know, she would just need time to vent to me what's going on inside of her mind, and I needed to be there to listen for her, I began to mess up. I created a problem, actually, between us, because I wanted to fix for her in that moment that which was not fixable. And so I began to, what can I do to fix this thing? And it put just incredible, unnecessary pressure on my wife, where she was kind of in the mode of, okay, well, now I've got to help him fix me, you know?
Yes.
And so she had reached kind of a point where she was exhausted with it. And when she got to that point and I saw it, I realized we've got a big problem, and the problem is me. And I had to step back, and I had to say, as far as perspective, I had to look at the man in the mirror and say, you're very angry at God. You're very angry at that this even happened to you. You're very angry at missed expectations of friends. You know, why didn't this person step up and help or say the thing or whatever? And that the problem was me.
Right.
And so I reached out for help, and through a friend, through church, went to a Bible study that called Redemption Groups. And if you are interested in Redemption Groups, you can look at it online, Google it. They're based out of Mars Hill Church. And those guys were incredible at kind of peeling off layers off my heart to be able to expose my heart for what it actually was. Because what happened with Sharon is my wife's needs drastically changed.
Right.
And women have assorted needs, you know, from top to bottom, whether they're sick or not. And I get that. However, when her needs changed, I wasn't willing to adapt to what those changes were. I was trying to put her needs back into this box and say, if you're inside of this box, I can help you. If you're outside of this box, it's just gonna tick me off. That in reality is what was going on. And in essence, what I was saying at the time was, God, you're not in control, and I am, and I know what's best. And the whole while, I kept making matters worse and worse. So I was very thankful that my friend reached out to me, and I was able to get the help that I needed to realize that the needs that I needed to meet were in the moment of what she had, not what my expectations were.
Right.
And I had to learn to adapt to that.
Well, and I'd like to expand just a moment, if you don't mind, on something that you said. And from a woman's perspective or from a patient's perspective, I think that this does need to be addressed. This did also happen to you. It did not just happen to your wife. She may have had the cancer in her body and did, and that's a horrifying position. I know, I can attest to it. But this also happened to you. And so without going too overboard or getting too personal, I would like to ask, you know, the cancer was in her body, but you guys are married. You know, you've been married for years.
Right.
And this alters the state of your relationship, your expectations. This alters her body. And so, briefly, as a man, I think one of the things I really love about you, Mr. Bruce, is that you are able to articulate male feelings. And as women, that is rare. We don't get men that can tell us how they feel. And so this is something women want to know. What is my man thinking?
I'll be as transparent as I can. And
while protecting her, I know.
Yeah. And it, for me, the biggest thing, and she even told me, because she knew, she was kind of quietly watching, how are you going to respond?
Mm-hmm.
There's just no easier way to put it, and I'm just going to put it out there. How is my husband going to respond the first time he's able to lay down in bed with me at night and put his arms around me, and I'm not the same?
Things are different.
Things are different. And it's not like she went to a plastic surgeon and had a breast augmentation. She's had all of the tissue removed, and it's now replaced with a prosthetic. And quite frankly, this prosthetic is about 20 to 30 degrees difference in temperature than her body.
It is.
And I remember well, I'm just being straight up honest with you, I remember well biting my lip and fighting back the tears, because when I put my arm around my wife, she was not the same woman that I had married.
Right.
Something was taken from her And then she reminded, she was like, I think this is harder on you than it is on me. Something was taken from me as well. And I know I was being very selfish in that, but it was hard for me to not get emotional. I'm sitting here trying to be the tough guy. I'm strong for you, whatever. And inside I was falling apart because this wasn't the same woman that I married. And that was part of what I had to get help with as well through my, what I was really angry about was, I know that when some people die, if one of my kids were to be killed in a car wreck today, and as tragic as that is, time would slowly heal that. The harder part was part of my wife was taken from me on a certain day, but yet she's still here and she's dealing with the emotions of, well, how do I appear to my husband?
Right.
I didn't want to say or do the wrong thing. I didn't want her to think that I thought any less of her because I didn't. However, I was hurting because the fact of the matter was something was taken from both of us.
Well, sure.
And now, granted, we wanted it gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do want my wife, and she wants to live to see our children grow old and have grandchildren and all that, but
it's a pretty
emotionally,
fair trade.
I just that was extremely difficult for me, and was part of why I still wasn't dealing with it very well. And I kind of had to have that question posed to me when I was meeting with this Bible study: was who am I to say that I am bigger than God that I can try to fix my wife? He knows my wife's body inside and out. And he knows what her needs are perfectly, and only he can meet those needs.
That's right.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility to have the humility to say, honey, I'm here to listen, and I'm here to help you, and what can I do? And then do it. But I struggled with that. It took me a while to get to that point.
Well, if you could have been totally prepared for what your role would have or could have been as a caregiver, what would you have known? I mean, how would you advise the man who is just learning that his wife is going into treatment?
Well, the two most important things that were told to me is exactly what I would tell him, that it is a process. There is a point where you'll be able to say, the process is pretty much over with, and there's that point where it's behind you. And then secondly, that you absolutely do have to go with what you know to be true. The third thing is, you know what, there really is no preparation that you can say, I'll tell you what, Sharon, let's take it from a different perspective. I prepare for a job. I go to school. I get all the education, I get certifications to be able to do this job. I am prepared for this job till the first headache comes in the middle of the job. And then it's up to me to figure out how, number one, I'm going to react to it, and then number two, how I'm going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, I would say the most important thing you can do is to be able to be ready to say, how am I reacting to this? How does it, as a caregiver, how does that appear to my wife? And if you have children, to your children?
Mm-hmm.
Because their responses and reactions are going to be tempered by your reaction.
Oh, and they, and the girls in your family will never believe that they are worthy of more than what kind of reaction you can give your wife, and your sons will never believe that you'll be the standard of what's right by their wife as well. So
right.
that's great wisdom.
Right.
So that's a great answer. And, again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on and speaking to caregivers. This is a gap, I think, in support, and we do aim to do our best to fill that gap. On a little bit of a different note, as our listeners know, we always wrap the show with a not just surviving, but thriving tidbit of the day. And
right.
That's a moment in time where you just lay down the mundane or the busyness of life, and you chose to take in something important in that moment. So, Mr. Bruce, do you have a tidbit for us today?
Sure. This goes back to a moment when I was actually a teenager, still living in my parents' home, something that my father shared with me that I've treasured. And it's not something that my father said that was profound. It was the thing itself that was profound. But I remember, you know, Dad would always get me up out of bed to get ready for, go milk the cows and eat breakfast and go to school. And I remember waking up early just on my own, and I thought, well, I'll get myself up. And I walked through the den, and my father was a Christian. And I remember the little light on and him reading his Bible, and he had tears running down his face. My dad was not one to cry at all. And in fact, he was a very stern, tough guy. And I was a little apprehensive. I was like, Dad, you know, you okay? And he stopped what he was doing, and he kind of held up his Bible to me, and he wiped the tears off his face, and he said, Son, it is a brand new day, and it is packed full of brand new mercies. Mm. And so when I'm having my worst day, and things just seem like they're kind of falling apart, and I can't control that, I remind myself of what Dad shared with me that day. It's a brand new day. God's promised to be full of new mercies, and we're going to be okay.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. That was so lovely.
You're very welcome.
It was so lovely. I hope everyone has enjoyed and become enriched by what you have had to say here. As much as I have, this has been fantastic for me personally. And if for no other reason, I thank you for coming on today. And for everyone else, this is a wrap on caregiving from the man's perspective. And so, just remember, guys, as always, we're not just surviving, but thriving with you. We'll see you later. Bye-bye, everybody.